Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. My guest this week, I've been waiting for this moment, by the way. I feel like we're besties and we have yet to really physically meet. And it's Lissa Vages, Chief Veterinary Officer from Empowering Veterinary Teams. How are you, my friend?
Oh, Adam, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. And I agree. Every time I've seen you like on a different Zoom call, I'm like, I need to hang out with that guy.
Yes.
Like, now. I
know. When this is over, forget it. We are hanging.
It's gonna be awesome. Yes, absolutely. East Coast, we got to stick together a little bit.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk today about training in veterinary medicine, which is something that may seem like, well, what are you talking about? But wait till you talk to Lissa about this. This is some great stuff. So let me give you some feedback, a little bio on her. With 17 years in the veterinary field and a lifetime of thinking outside of the litter box.
Always.
She's our go-to gal for developing content, ensuring skills are taught and messages heard. When she's not creating, teaching, or saving furry lives, she's hanging out with her family. I love. Amazing hubby, two small yet spectacular humans, and training her blind cane corso pup. Yeah. Try and keep up with her. She's always on the go. I love your energy.
Oh, you know, some days I could use more, but thanks.
Yes, so. I love it. So let's talk a little bit about that with the training approach. Like,
sure.
Talk up to me about like methodologies and approaches. What does it look like, sound like, all that stuff?
All the feels, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, being in this industry, we can't get anywhere without continuing education, right? It's a requirement. But that doesn't stop when you're on the treatment floor, in the ER, in the internal medicine suite, in the OR, everywhere you go, you're constantly having to use your skills, right? So what happens if you're coming in as a new member of the team, right? And say it's a large practice and there's 200 people and you walk in, they're like, oh God, you know, what do you do? Who do you go to? What do you say? You know, it's all of those things. Yeah. So really what we're looking to do, and you know, my background is in obviously veterinary medicine, but education as well, is to kind of flip this whole process on its head. You know, make sure that from A to Z, we're covered with orientation to growth and development for the whole team, because we're all focused on getting those new members on board. Short staff is a universal problem in every practice you go to. But what happens for those folks that have been there for 5, 10, 15 years? Where do they go, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want to forget them. So it's to identify the existing leaders within the team, build them up, grow them, empower them, which is where our name came from, right? Empowering Veterinary Teams. And then they grow from the whole practice blooms from within. That's part of it. And then taking the process and revamping it, instead of labeling people as beginners, intermediate, and advanced nurses and assistants. No, look at the process. They're learning. They're developing and they're mastering their skills. So change it, change the focus. And that's really what the conversation becomes, because training is you train or, you know, work with a skill, but you coach the individual. So that's the other side of that proverbial coin, right? Is that methodology. You need to train your trainers, because it inevitably ends up being the most skilled folks on the team that are like, all right, you've been here, you're going to train everybody. And they're like, wait, what?
You know, right. Yes.
It's something that is not inherently a part of us. Not everybody is geared up to spend their days, you know, doing critical care and then teaching someone at the same time. It's not easy. And there's definitely tips and tricks and techniques with which to do it. So it's to actually standardize and cohesively create a program that makes it easy. If you have something in place, great. We can help with anything and everything there, or create the whole thing for you and just make it something that, you know, work smarter, not harder.
Yes.
Because we don't have the time to have to work harder, and the energy needs to be focused on our patients and on our teams and keep that building process going. So it's really about identifying and empowering the existing leaders within the team and creating a systematic process to make that fluid.
I love it. And you know, what about those ones? Cause I have experienced this, where you hear of a manager that was in the role because they were just there for 10 years, right? And they don't necessarily have the managerial skills, but because they got promoted because he or she was, you know, there for 10 years as a technician, and they will talk to somebody like, oh, I really don't know what I'm doing. Like, I just got promoted because like I've been here this long. What's your experience with that?
I have lived it, but I've also lived the opposite, where they are really invested in it and they go and take the courses to become leaders, right? Mm-hmm. But that's the exception, not the standard or the norm. So that's where my business partner comes in, Caitlin Keat. That's her background is leadership development. So she's a program manager and an engineer, which is beautiful. So, you know, I'm outside of the litter box and she's herding all the rest of the cats, right? So it's kind of, that's where we come at with like the two edges to that sword, right? So I will work with the teams and she works with leadership and management to make sure it's a whole team process. Mm-hmm. And cause they need the support too, right? So if everyone's coming to you with problems as the manager or the practice manager or the HR, whoever you are, where do you go? Mm-hmm. Right. So where are your resources and your support? And maybe you can't go to CE. None of us can go anywhere right now. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely something that needs another, you know, booster shot, pun intended, to keep that going as well.
You know, it reminds me, did you ever see that show Tabitha Salon Takeover? It was on Bravo, but it was, but you need to watch it because it reminds me of like how your mission is like, she would come into these salons and she would listen to everyone's grievances, look at the flow, the workflow of the organization,
yep,
and make an assessment. And that's what I like about what your team does too, because I truly feel like having an outsider to come in to work and coach and build skills is so powerful, so impactful too. I mean, I'm sure you must feel like that too when you go into these practices.
That's the hope, right? And yeah, you know, it's definitely not we want to come in and take over. That's never the premise.
No.
It's like, hey, you've got something great here. Let's work together to make it even better. And then treat ourselves like a tapering prednisone dose, right? Like we'll be here
as much as you need.
And then you wean us off, right? And we're never going to not be accessible, but it's also, we don't want your success to depend on us. It's on you, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to give you all the tools and the techniques to make that happen, but it's got to be, you know, from within. So, you know, that's why our catchphrase is inspire, instruct, and impact together. We can't do this alone. No one can. And I know everyone's kind of sick of hearing that phrase of like, we're in this together. It's like, yeah, but we really are, you know? And if we're not, it's not going to work.
Well, what's unique about that too, it's a collaborative approach is what you, mm-hmm, what you do. So, you know, expand a little bit on that too. Like how can collaborative approaches work in veterinary medicine?
Oh my gosh. Well, have you done a CPR code?
Oh,
right.
Yes.
Exactly. Yep. I can't be compressing and ventilating and putting in the catheter and doing, you know, the recording and calling the client all at the same time. It takes five of us. Wow. Right. So that, and you know, honestly, you can take the girl out of the ER, but never the ER out of the girl. So if I approach everything like it's a potential emergency, that's just why I've done it for so long. And it serves us well. Right. So veterinary medicine's always been a collaborative event. It's just the focus has shifted, right? From like, well, you know, I'm just trying to get through the day. And especially now, I mean, with curbside and everything, it's just it exacerbated the whole problem, right?
Yes.
So it's really to identify, well, you know, and I'm not an expert in everything. I'm an expert because I know who the experts are. I have my areas that I'm really good at, but there's some areas that I'm not, but I know people who are, and that's what makes us stronger. So it's to take that approach into that conversation into these situations and be like, hey, you know, Sarah's excellent at aggressive cats. And if you want a big bad dog to get out of your way and listen and be calm, that's where Heather comes in. And if you need to hit that really tricky vein, grab Lori, you know, it's recognizing the strengths of your team. And then that builds everybody up. And that's not sometimes intuitive. And that maybe come from years of being a synchronized swimmer where I couldn't literally lift myself up without my teammates.
Wait a minute, you were a synchronized swimmer?
Yes, I was.
I
just drop that and keep moving.
Amazing.
But it was honestly that changed my perspective too, of like, it's a very different team sport. And that's kind of how, not kind of, that is how I like to approach our business model is we are here, you know, we rise by lifting others. And what is our ultimate goal? Why do we get into veterinary medicine? The animals, right? To be the voice for the voiceless. And so the collaborative approach, yes, I was competitive and I still am, but for different reasons, you know, and to change that competition to collaboration, it's like putting that positive spin. It's taking your perspective. It's like you were saying earlier, you know, to have that outside perspective. We all need it. You know, I need to have like a neutral party to tell me when, hey, you know, that's really not a good thing that either you're wearing, saying or doing. Right. You know, to have that kind of little kick in the rear to recognize where I'm off. So we don't kick anybody, I promise. but to come in and to be that, like, that mirror for people to say, hey, look, you're really doing great. You are doing this. I'm just here to hold the mirror so you can see it.
I like that.
Thanks.
You know, you talk about, so there's a little bit of a combination of both, like, outsourcing and, like, insourcing, mm-hmm. I guess you call it, incorporating inner training. At what point do you think that certain practices would need outsourced training versus, like, internal training?
I think they all do, really. Mm-hmm. Again, for that perspective component, but also for time, right? So I want to make sure that if I'm the outsourced person, which I would be in this case, right, that I do it with your flavor, your colors, how it looks, feels, and tastes and sounds. But so you can focus on what you do on a day-to-day basis, right? It allows the internal group to get done what they need to get done and not worry about the stuff that they don't necessarily like to do, like making protocols and skill sets and things. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Weird that way. But I mean, in many ways, but that's one of them. So it's really, it gives you the opportunity to focus on and hone your skills and your energies where they need to be and give the stuff to someone else that you don't want or have time to do. And that being said, if you have someone within the organization that loves to, you know, pivot table around a spreadsheet, have at it, right? But do you have the time and the resources to allot for that? And that's what, you know, that's an internal organization, you know, self-check, to do your temp check, you know, read your room. Mm-hmm. What are your folks needing and doing? And if they are capable, then do it. Absolutely have them do it, because a homegrown team, yeah, they're the best. And then outsource when you need that extra little oomph.
Yeah. What, you know, we're in such different times right now with this pandemic that's here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, it's been so trying on these teams. So in your experience, what really is making these practices either stand out, survive, you know, team, like, what are some things that you're seeing that's really, you know, making them excel?
They are present, you know, management, the owners, like doctors, the whole team is actively listening to one another. They're aware of what's going on and they're doing something about it together, right? So instead of like, oh, here, have a pizza party. Like, we don't even have time to eat the bloody pizza, right? So if they're the ones that are focusing on the patient to caregiver ratio, making sure that that is feasible and attainable, making, you know, oh, here, we got a yoga teacher for you. Great. When are we supposed to do that, right? So actually scheduling that time, you know, setting up coordinators or supervisors on the floor to step in so people can step off and doing that kind of, you know, self-check and recognition of like, all right, yes, we're a 24/7 practice, but we maybe shouldn't take in 113 patients, you know, because we only have 6 nurses or, you know, 4 overnight. So, and to, you know, they're really, you know, making sure that they're doing that self-awareness and also, you know, that emotional intelligence piece, you know, the ones that have that higher EI and, you know, the self-check are really doing well and have embraced the telemedicine too. That's not easy. You know, technology and vet med for a long history has not been great. And we're making leaps and bounds in that realm, which is really fun and it's working. So, you know, making sure that you're utilizing your team, supporting them and embracing the change and evolving with it.
I'm glad you discussed telemedicine. I want to share a story with you. A practice owner that I was speaking with, this was around July. So kind of like, you know, a few months into the pandemic. And she was saying that her practice was like profitable, the highest profitability they've ever seen, but she had the highest turnover she ever had. Uh-huh. And she realized this in July. And it's funny, I spoke with her in November. She realized, at what cost was it really worth that my staff was so burnt out?
Right.
And I love that she recognized the fact that you couldn't put a price on the turnover. The clients were noticing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you would appreciate this because this is what you do for a living. And the fact that she knew that she actually had to slow things down. She invested in telemedicine because the staff was asking, can I work from home? I would like to do like flex scheduling, virtual care visits. Yes. And the team ultimately, she got 2 of her team members to come back because of the fact that she listened, she heard, she understood.
That's amazing. And
right?
Kudos to her. Like, that's not easy to do, right?
No.
Because as much as we will all say, every single one of us, you know, we're in it for the money, said no vet professional ever, but we have to survive, right?
Yeah.
You know, we have fur babies and some of us have human babies that we have to take care of ourselves, right? Self-care is a thing.
Yeah.
And the fact that she recognized that. And also, the longer you're in this profession, it's a physical profession. You know, what happens? you know, it's our knees or our backs, right? Or, you know, our mental health, all of it. You can sometimes have the trifecta. Fortunately, my back is okay. I have reconstructed knees and I have a great therapist, so I'm good. but it's really to make sure that you give those options for at-home medicine, you know, that capability to call in. You can do all those servers and exchanges and have an IT thing figure it out. And then you leverage your team in that way. And that's amazing, you know, because there's so much as an assistant, a technician, a nurse, doctors, but we can do so much. Right. And to make sure that the blinders are off in that regard is huge.
I think our profession panicked when COVID, like everyone did, rightfully so. We panicked, oh my gosh, you know, like are we the businesses, all those things. So we need to see everything that we can possibly see. But then I think our profession realized like the burnout that was happening and the fatigue. And now it starts to seem like we finally, I mean, it's just like, this is uncharted water that we've entered.
Oh, yeah. You know?
So I think we figured it out a little bit, trying to keep that balance with our team, the morale, culture, but also trying to be profitable at the same time, you know? Yeah. So,
and sustainable, right? Because you're there as, you know, if you're a business owner, a practice owner in management, you have to, you're not only there for the patients, but you're there for your team. And if you're not bringing in the clients and things that stresses everybody out, you're not gonna be able to sustain that either. So it is a definite tightrope. And I give so much credit to all of those in, you know, the ownership roles. That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, it really is tough. Lissa Major, I can't even get the words out. I'm so excited.
Mages rhymes with pages.
Right, Lissa's Mages rhymes with pages. Where can we find more information about you and EBT?
Sure. Website, it's our name, empoweringveterinaryteams.com. We're on all social platforms. It's it gets a little bit tangled in the mouth there. Emp Vet Team. So if you want to find us there, and yeah, check us out. We have a YouTube channel. We just finished a live conference last week, but it's still there for you guys to enjoy. And we're here. I promise if you email us a live person, me usually just because I like to be a part of it. And if you're reaching out, we want to make this you literally become a part of the EV team. That's what we're here for.
And wait, we got to give a plug for what we both are on, you and I.
Oh my gosh, Possibilities, right? Yeah. And that's how we met. It's this incredible organization for mentorship and diversity, equity, inclusion in veterinary medicine. And it's taught me how to be a better human and a mentor. And you all should check it out. It's an incredible group of amazing people. Doctors Valerie Marcano and Seth Andrews. Really, it's just great.
I know. I'm always wowed every time we have meetings just of interacting with other professionals in our industry. And it's just... It really is. And like you said, I mean, you're never too old or too young to be a mentor and a mentee. So
what is that great quote? Never stop learning because life never stops teaching.
That's what I say. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I live by it. It's by my desk. And, you know, I've learned like spending time with you and with Valerie and Seth and with, you know, Tiara from Black DMM Network and Quincy from Get Motivated and all the people that I wish I could remember all the names because I'm so excited. I told Adam I was fangirling a little bit ago. So I'm trying to be cool, guys. I'm trying.
I feel like we're at the Emmys when you get your acceptance speech and we have to thank everybody. Like,
I know.
Valerie Burkley and Seth Andrew.
But honestly, it's just what I find so refreshing too, is there's a lot of us with this like-minded, the growth mindset, right? And the fact that change is what we need to do and embrace and be. And it's really invigorating and it's an awesome experience.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad we met too and connected.
Me too. Great. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Lissa Majors, everyone, a round of applause for her.
Have a great day, guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yes, and thank you for tuning into the Vet Blast podcast. Please take care of yourselves and your teams and stay pawsome, everyone. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.